thoughts on Mark. Mark chapter 8 and verses 17 to 21. The rebuke. Now you remember that Jesus has made this strident warning. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. Be careful, he said. Watch out. And you remember that the disciples have discussed this with one another, and they thought in terms of material bread. Now, verse 17, aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, let me pause there. Jesus knew what they were thinking. It's not simply that he overheard their words. He knew what was going on in their hearts. We've met this, you meet this again and again in the Gospels. Jesus knows what's going on in men's minds. He knows what they're thinking. So he asked them, and he probes them. And he probes them, and he asked them with a series of questions. Not closed questions where the answer is yes or no. He's really probing them. Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see, and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of pieces did you pick up? And so on. Do you not understand? He brought up to the other miracle as well. How many baskets then did you pick up? And so on. Jesus knew then, and he's rebuking them by these questions. Now, this is the most powerful way of teaching. Today, too many preachers are just handing down facts. Fact after fact after fact. But people learn by answering questions in their own words, by being forced to think. And Jesus is probing them there. He's not giving the simple facts. Now, he could just simply said, this is what's going on, this is what I mean, and so on. No, he's making them see the stupidity of their way. He's making them think. And that was the trouble with them, of course. They weren't thinking straight. We've seen this in the previous discourse. This is the trouble. We don't think straight. We don't get the doctrine clear in our minds. We don't argue it out with ourselves. We let circumstances talk to us, whereas we should be talking to circumstances. We should be talking to ourselves the way of Christ with us. See, these people forget, that's what they're told. They don't understand. And of course, above all, they fail to apply. One thing leads to another. They don't remember it properly. They don't understand it. And then they fail to put it into application. And of course, that's the purpose of it. Preachers aren't there just to give out facts and handle the text. Some good has got to come from it. My discourses must land within my own heart and in my own life. And it's got to change me. And my friend, if it's going to do you any good, it's not that you just tick it and say it's nice and I like that, but it's got to be effective in our lives. God asks us questions here. He awakens us. The TV is a soporific. The pulpit should be an awakener. The Bible reading should be an awakener. Conversation should be an awakener. How did God help Elijah? What doest thou here, Elijah? 1 Kings 19. What doest thou here? What are you doing here? Why are we told to gird up the loins of our mind? We got to remember. We got to reason out. We got to talk to ourselves. We got to get a grip on the doctrine and let the doctrine get a grip on us, and then we got to apply it. Spurgeon said, you must feed the people. He said this to the students. He said, if you just give them bones, he said, dogs will quarrel. No, no. We want to think properly. We need to think properly. Otherwise, our sicknesses and troubles will come thick and fast upon us. If we have a bad diet, we don't take care of our health, we don't get enough exercise or out in the air enough, whatever it might be, then, of course, we get certain illnesses. Well, the same spiritually. We must work out this salvation that God has worked in, because it's God who works in us. It's our responsibility and it's our privilege. It's not just facts, it's the application of them. We're told over and over again, you don't know as you ought to know. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 2. Your minds are corrupt, or the possibility of it. I don't want it, says Paul to 2 Corinthians 11. Judges 2, verse 10. They didn't remember. They didn't know. They didn't work it out. They didn't think it out, and so on. This is how it goes on. We need to remember, to apply, and to work it out, having worked it out in our lives. John Fawcett put it into a hymn like this. Perhaps I won't read all of it, but he's praying for God's blessing and presence. Okay, in hearing the gospel preached publicly, but it can be for reading as well or conversation. So let thy voice engage our ear and faith be mixed with what we hear. I'm taking it from the hymn, Thy Presence, Gracious God, Afford. Yes, well, there it is. Now let thy voice engage our ear and faith be mixed with what we hear. Distracting thoughts and cares remove, and lift, fix our hearts and hopes above. With food divine may we be fed, and satisfied with living bread. To us the sacred word apply, amen, with sovereign power and energy. And may we, in thy faith and fear, reduce to practice, hell, this is the word, reduce to practice what we hear. Father, in us thy Son reveal. Teach us to know and do thy will. Thy Spirit send, thy love display, and guide us to the realms of day. Well, I want to learn from this episode. The disciples failed here, and so do I, and so do you, brother, sister. I've no doubt about it. May God give us grace to learn from this, and to pick up and go on, to reason out, to remember, to reason out, to understand, and then apply the doctrine. May God help us in it, for Christ's sake. And, unbeliever, let me have a word with you. It's no good just hearing the gospel. You have to repent. You have to believe. You have to trust the Savior. Will you do it now?